So, does everybody have boners?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. Nick has a gigantic boner for Pokemon, Molly has a boner for audiobooks, and I have a boner for a movie. You know.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
And it has been a while, ladies and gentlemen, but we do have some boners to share with you.
Oh, God, my boner's so big.
Mine aches.
It's, yeah.
Mine's chafed.
I mean, we all have different boners, but I think, yeah. You know, it, to be fair, Nick's boner is probably the biggest because he shares this boner with so many people
it's
right
true.
Now.
It's true. He's been sharing his boner all over town for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I've been doing mine. I've been playing with my boner every day on the way to and from work. Mm. So I've really worked up a good rash on my boner.
Yeah.
I can't really play with my boner while driving, so.
You're not supposed to. Tim's boner is heroic. It's geeky and gigantic.
It is gigantic.
It fills the theater.
Are you keep dancing around these boners?
Yeah.
No.
Who wants to suck this boner?
We're gonna start, Nick. Nick, what is your boner? I mean, we just got to get it right out of the way. What's
it's too
your boner,
big.
Nick?
It's too big to ignore.
My boner is I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And chances are, so are you or someone you know. Or you're annoyed by all the posts about it on Facebook. And
in which case, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, or just
sorry.
Get
over, I'm sorry.
Or just get over it. People are having fun.
That was pretty rough right out the gate.
So at the time of recording this, let's see. Niantic just put out two big patches.
It has been one day since the terrible patch.
Yeah, they just put out a patch that made a lot of bad changes for now. That'll fix later, I hope. But I'm almost level 26. I'm like just a fucking tiny bit away from 26. I've got 105 Pokemon caught, 106 seen out of the 151 in the Pokedex. And I have found some pretty good ways, some good strategies for, like, gaming the system or playing efficiently.
It's worth noting that, as our listeners know, you are currently in school and not working full-time.
Right.
But you also don't have any classes this summer.
Yes.
So you've had lots of time. I don't want them to have boner envy and to feel like their Pokemon boners are less than because they don't have as much time.
It's, But the exercise has been good to get ready for fest season.
Yep.
To get my feet
and
ready.
And just in general.
Yeah, sure.
I think, you know, one of the cool things about Pokemon Go is it is getting people to actually go outside and walk around.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is great in Minnesota in summer. In the winter, it's going to kind of blow. But
one of my favorite things about it is that there's a park not far from us. It's called Purgatory Creek Park in Eden Prairie. And there are five Pokestops, which are five items of interest on the map where you can get items every 5 minutes. And there are two more stops just like 100 feet away and 40 feet away. On an average night, weeknight, school night, there are probably about 200 people at Purgatory Creek Park, which is not a huge park.
I've seen it in my own eyes.
Hanging out, bringing chairs, bringing on it like a tents, awning things.
Hanging out.
And coolers, and everyone has external batteries. And my favorite thing is that you can tell who's playing Pokemon when you're at the mall or when you're at the park or whatever, and they're all looking at their phone and looking up and looking around, and there's this knowing nod that's like, what's up? Catching any good lately?
Yep.
Like, where I've heard people, like, join in conversations with strangers and exchange tips and be like, oh, you know, oh, I caught a, you know, Gyarados the other day. Oh, awesome. Where'd you catch that? Oh, I caught it over there at about, you know, 7:30 at night.
At the Mall of America, we had kids go, hey, there's an Abra over there. We were like, yeah, dude, we know. We just caught it. And they're like, sweet. I mean, just, it's this, like, super community thing.
Yeah, it's the community that has sprung up is awesome and really neat. And I see posts about people, you know, going out of their way to pick up trash when they go out to a park. Like, they'll bring a bag with them to throw trash out as they go. And the online communities that have sprung up are really cool, too.
I'm not playing this game.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing this game. It's not because I think it sounds awful. It is because I would literally not get work done.
We have talked previously about your penchant for disappearing into things like Crossy Road.
Yeah, my level of obsession is too high.
What's the other one that you play? Clash of Clans. Yeah.
Clash of Clans.
Yeah. Tim, I will say, you're one block away from 2 Pokestops and like 3 blocks away from like 15.
Do your kids play?
No, my kids don't have smartphones. They would lose them. We're right by Hamlin University, and there's a ton of Pokestops and stuff over there. I know, because when Pat and I go out for walks, without playing Pokemon Go, just going for a walk.
Regular walking.
We did that before Pokemon Go. It's the craziest thing.
Oh my God, you guys are such pioneers.
And there are people walking around walking around Hamlin University all the time,
you know,
with their phones out, catching Pokemon. It's like when I see people getting all upset because other people are talking about it, I'm like, whatever, let people enjoy things. I've totally not gotten into it specifically because I've got too much other stuff going on.
That's fair.
I mean, to give an example, there's this game, Disney Magic Kingdoms, which I downloaded about a month and a half ago. It is the easiest fucking game in the world. All you have to do is collect things from buildings and then every now and again level up a Disney character.
Sure.
But I get to fucking build a Disney park with like fucking Space Mountain and stuff like that. So that's awesome, and I don't care. And that, I take way too much time, even though all I have to do is go in there every 3-4 hours and go touch these buildings to collect these resources.
Nick, who's your, this game would end you then. Because
exactly, that's what I'm saying. Is this game, you know, just hearing the way you guys talk about it now, it would just end me.
Nick, which Pokemon is your favorite?
For the game?
Which Pokemon that you have, and doesn't qualify that however you want, so, whether it's combat power or type or whatever.
Sure. So I've got an 1865 combat power Gyarados that I use pretty much exclusively for taking
gems. Did you evolve that or hatch it?
I evolved it. I paid the iron price for it, Molly.
That's impressive because that's 400 Magikarp.
It's 400 Magikarp candy. You get 3 per catch, 1 per transfer. And if you hatch, you'll get between 10 and 20. So I hatched 1 Magikarp and I caught all the rest.
That's impressive.
And I had enough candy left over to evolve my Magikarp to the highest CP for my level before turning it into a Gyarados.
Oh my God.
So I bumped it a bunch.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was my panties falling off.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So I really like my Gyarados for that because he is a water / flying type.
Yep.
But his primary attack is dragon. So I can use him against water Pokemon, which are very common in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Vaporeon is one of the most powerful Pokemon, or was before the most recent patch. It's still very powerful. But I can attack it with something other than a water attack, but its water attacks aren't effective against me.
Yeah.
So it's the benefit of having a non-match.
Oh, I know. I fought a Gyarados today.
But for holding gyms...
Did you get fucked up by the Gyarados?
I did, because I was a Vaporeon.
For holding gyms, though, I hatched a Snorlax this week that is a pretty high combat power, just under 2 grand, and they have so many fucking hit points that they are just a burden to take down.
From what I understand from friends who are playing this game, that like you don't get any bonuses from holding a gym unless you're holding a gym for like 21 hours.
No,
You get one if you take your bonus right away, you can get the bonus. But then, but the more you can only take your bonuses once every 20 hours. 21 hours. So you can try to hold a whole bunch of gyms and then take your bonuses, or you can do what I do, which is take one gym once and then take your bonus because you know you're not gonna get another gym.
What I like to do is there's a stretch in Eden Prairie where I can. Well, a combination of driving, parking, and walking across Starring Lake Park, I can hit a whole bunch of Pokestops to refill my backpack on items, and I can hit 5 gyms. And I can usually hit them, if they're not very powerful, I can hit them and take them pretty quick. Or if they're already taken by my team, the one true team, the correct team, Mystic, the Ravenclaws of the three options.
I don't believe in tribalism, but go mystic.
We're rivals, not enemies. But I can usually get 5 gyms and then cash in. And then, so when you cash in, every 21 hours you can cash in and you can get 500 Stardust and 10 Pokecoins per gym held. And I think you can do up to 15 at a time. You can hold up to 15 gyms at a time. I don't know anyone that's
done
more
than that. How often are you able to hold them that long?
Not very. I did hold one gym in Eden Prairie for like a week.
Wow.
Once. With a Golbat, no less. But nobody took it. It was just off the path. There was no... You had to like really go out of your way to get it. There's one that you have to take a secret trail down to that you can see on your map, but it's down by the water and it's kind of a swamp. It's a
That's where that picture of us that we posted where we were in the woods on a poke date, it was in that trail.
Yeah. It's a prairie ecosystem floodplain recreation. So it floods and it's swampy and the ground is not like very solid. So if you take that gym, sometimes you can hold it for a little while longer because people don't go back there as much.
So there's 3 teams. There's Mystic, which is blue. Team Instinct is yellow. And Team Valor is red. And so at work, where I work, the people who are in the Fantasy Flight Studios building, we all decided that, I mean, the bulk of us, but pretty much all of us would go Team Blue. Because the Asmin in North America is Team Yellow, is Instinct. And then the Game Center people, all the employees at the Game Center went red.
Like that rascal Kyle Decker.
Yeah, like Kyle Decker, friend of the show. So what we have now, because the FFGC is a gym, that gym changes hands constantly throughout the day. Because it is either always... Because there's also people who come to the Game Center who participate in that stuff. So it's not always the employees. But so, like, I'll get to work and the gym will be yellow. And if I feel like it, I can... If I'm in the bathroom at work, I can hit the gym. Because otherwise, I'm not close enough. My office is too far away. So if I'm in the bathroom, I can hit the gym. And I'll be like, oh, I'm in the bathroom. Like, I'll wash my hands and be like, as long as I'm in here. Like, attack, 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 attack. And then, or you'll see people. It's fun because we're very, it's rivalry. It's very friendly rivalry. So one time I was on a walk. My best friend Jess and I, she's yellow and I'm blue, but we take walks together. And so we would walk around the buildings and we would both see that the gym was red. And we would both start attacking it together to try to see who could get in there faster and take control of it. And it's very fun.
When we were up in Trago, Wisconsin doing a show a couple of weekends ago, everybody there played Pokemon Go again except me. And there's a gym, and it's this like conference center, and it's like in the middle of the woods. So like nobody plays Pokemon Go except our group. So our group was up there, and there were literally like 6 of them taking turns taking over the gym.
That's great.
They would just go around the table over and over again.
It's fun.
It's a super fun game. It's freemium, but honestly, you can play the game without spending any money.
Yeah.
And have a lot
of fun. Especially if you live in an urban area.
Yeah, in rural areas, it's harder. One of the cool things is in different states and different regions, the Pokemon that are common are different.
Some of it is by nest, which recently rotated. All the nests flipped. So like the Minnesota Arboretum was an Onyx nest. Now it's a... Dojuo nest.
But so if you're the kind of person who travels a lot for work, especially if you travel to lots of different cities, I highly recommend getting this game. Well, it's a fun little time waster.
Especially if you travel intercontinental, because there are...
Yeah.
So North America has Tauros exclusively, Asia has Farfetch'd exclusively, Europe has Mr. Mime exclusively, and Australia has Kangaskhan exclusively. So
it is important that you have unlimited data or a really high level data plan, I will say, because that is where a lot of people are going to have trouble. Although T-Mobile has said that
first year free.
For the first year of playing Pokemon Go, any Pokemon Go related data is free.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty sweet to get you involved in that one.
Yep.
Before we switch gears, just like 2 tips that I would, just like 2 really cool things. If you want to get super nitty gritty and like min-max your shit, Google and go find an IV calculator, like independent variable calculator. You'll put in a few numbers from your Pokemon and it'll tell you where on the scale of like, yeah, you have a Vaporeon and yeah, it's a 1250 combat power, but is it good for a 1250 Vaporeon, and where does it fall in that range that they fall? So you can figure out which of your characters are worth evolving and hanging on to, and which are like crappy and not don't have a lot of potential, even though they're the same kind of Pokemon. Mm. They can be variation within the individuals. And the other thing I would hit is find an evolution calculator, so that then you can figure out, this is what I did with my Magikarp before I turned it into a Gyarados. I figured out that if I just spent, like, 3 Magikarp candy to bump my Magikarp up, like, 20 combat power, all of a sudden my baseline minimum for my Gyarados' combat power was up by 400.
Did it fall in line? Because I did that with my Eevee, and it was wrong. I put in all the information for the Eevee that I evolved, and the...
Was this post-patch?
No, not the Eevee. The Butterfree. No, it was pre-patch. It was on the 30th. And the information I put in, it was like, your Butterfree will have a range from, you know, 10-something to 12-something, and mine ended up with, like, 9-something. Like, it was not within the range that it calculated at all. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Just I'm not trying to shit on that. I'm just saying, like, that frustrated me.
There are different calculators, and some of this stuff has changed since the last patch.
Yeah.
And every time there's a patch, there's a race to figure out what they changed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as we said earlier, this last patch, they made some really bad changes. They totally got rid of the tracker. They made independent tracking sites shut down, which sucks. And they about halved the efficiency of Pokeballs for catching and for critters dodging.
This update was not good.
No, people are upset, but
maybe
they'll learn their lesson.
Maybe they'll learn their lesson. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my boner. My boner
that's
is
a lovely boner.
Lovely boner.
Multicolored and from Japan.
Do you know how I feel about Nick's boners?
How do you feel about Nick's boners?
I gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. Right, Molly.
Like a dog catches a frisbee.
Molly, what is your boner? That was a long, long boner.
Tell me about it. I'm married to it. No, my boner is currently is audio. Audiobooks with a very specific thing, because I have been listening to the Abhorsen Old Kingdom series on audiobook, narrated by Tim Curry. And Don Krasnowski and then my friend Dane from work both recommended it. I posted on Facebook saying I need new audiobooks. And whenever I do that, there's always a score of suggestions of things I've already listened to and loved. But a few things that got suggested that I listened to and loved. Lock In by John Scalzi.
Yeah.
Which was recommended by Derek Marr and a bunch of other people. That was great.
With you too, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I listened to the Amber Benson narration, and Nick listened to the Will Wheaton. I say go with Amber Benson. Having listened to a little bit of his Will Wheaton narration, it's weird because the Amber Benson one is 11 hours. The Will Wheaton is 10. A lot of that is because Will Wheaton talks too fast for a lot of it. There's parts where I just feel like he doesn't give enough of a pause between people talking.
Counterpoint. If you want to read through audiobooks faster, get the Will Wheaton one.
Yeah, if you want to read through audiobooks faster, put it on 1.5 speed volume. Amber Benson does better with the voices, I think, too, just in general. Sure. But the cool thing about Lock-In is the main character's gender is never intimated by the narration. There's no point in the book that says what gender the character is.
It's irrelevant to the
character's
story.
Name is Chris, and beyond that, it is irrelevant. And so listening to it from a female narrator or a male narrator makes it have a lot of different interactions in different scenes, not because the words change at all, but because you're like, oh, this is a woman having this conversation, or this is a man. And it's very cool. So if you haven't listened to Lock In by John Scalzi, I really recommend that. Next up, again, I mentioned the Abhorsen trilogy. So first of that is a book called Sabriel, which is the story of a young necromancer who is the Abhorsen, which is kind of a title. And she is born to the Abhorsen, and then she becomes the other, you know, she becomes the Abhorsen. And her necromancer, she's a necromancer who doesn't raise the dead, but instead locks them away and prevents them from interfering with humankind. And it's very, very good fantasy. It's middle fantasy. It's not high fantasy. There's no elves or dragons or shit.
Did they say fuck?
I don't remember. I don't think so. It's young adult, so I don't think so. It's technically YA, but it doesn't read like YA other than the protagonist is a teenager. You know, sure. So I loved it. I'm on the second book, Liriel. If you've read this, then maybe you'll understand this. Liriel is me. It is. I have never heard a character. She's a loner who both yearns to be with people, but also doesn't want to be and understands that that's why she's alone. Like, while she doesn't want to go be with people, she still feels kind of a pang when she sees other girls in like giggling, happy groups. Like, she almost wishes she wanted it. Because it would be nice to want that, but she doesn't. She makes herself a dog friend because she just wants a friend that will love her and won't constantly ask her questions or expect her to behave a certain way. It's super great. She's not like everyone else of her kind, and she's waiting and waiting and waiting to get the gift of sight, and it's not coming, and she feels like that she's the only one in the whole world who's ever been this way, and it's really great. And then there's a third book, too, called Abhorsed, and I haven't gotten there yet. And then here is an audiobook that I do not recommend, but I do recommend that you read the book. Because the book is great, and I actually stopped 2 hours into the audiobook because I finally just got fucking fed up and went and ordered the paperback. The book is Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. It's a movie coming out. It's written by Ransom Riggs. You might have seen an ad for it. You might have seen a trailer for it in the theater recently. But the problem with the audiobook is it's narrated by Jesse Bernstein, who I am naming to shame because he does a terrible fucking job with the accents. I don't know who the fuck hired him to read a book where the bulk of the characters are British, Welsh specifically, but like, let's just say even if he could just do a British accent, it would be acceptable. Boy. I understand Welsh is difficult. I'm not like, well, I know Welsh and I'm not hearing the slight differences. He can't even do English. He can't even do a fake Dick Van Dyke Cockney joke accent. It is just all over the place. His vowels change. His rhythms are off. It got to the point where I was fucking done. Like halfway through this one character's monologue where the accent was just sliding all over the place. And I work at the Renaissance Festival, so I've got a bit of a tolerance.
Bad accents at the Renaissance.
Mine included. Like Olive's accent isn't British. It's Renaissance. You know, it's a vagary of accents that I do, and I have a good tolerance for that, but this was just poor. And even when he read the book in his own voice, sometimes it felt like he didn't understand how people talked. Like every sentence had a weird emphasis. Like it was just so. But the book's great, and the best part about getting it in print is you get the photographs that are mentioned in the book, which are important. They are photographs of a bizarre and otherworldly nature.
I'm pretty sure Alex has read at least one of those books.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, that feels like something he would like. Again, it's YA. I think I read a YA novel, and so Audible keeps recommending things to me, but I like them, so it works.
Sure.
And then the audiobooks that I just finished, that, again, I know I've talked about before, if you haven't listened to them, The Lies of Locke Lamora, the Gentleman Bastard series, the narrator for that is one of the best I've ever heard. And then the book You by Carolyn Kepnes, which I will... Everyone who likes... If you like horror at all, if you like anything with murder or darkness, if you liked American Psycho especially, this character is the modern day American Psycho. And it's narrated by Santino Fontana, who plays Greg in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and is stunning. And this book is written in the first and second person. So like it's written in the first person with a guy talking about you, Bex. I just love you. And he like stalks this girl. It's amazing. So much happens. And please just take my advice and fucking listen to it. It got recommended to me by Bird Chick Sharon Styler, friend of the show. And I am so grateful because it's probably one of my favorite books of all time now. It's very good. So
awesome.
Those are my ear delight boners.
Seriously,
getting boned in the ears.
Literary boners.
I drive for an hour and 15 minutes every day, at least. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So,
yeah. After we listen to Lock In, I listen to Old Man's War and the sequel to that by Scalzi.
Yeah.
And if you like... Starship Troopers, the book.
Mm.
I would say, like, read it. It's
if you like Starship Troopers, the movie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, sorry.
Come on, guys.
Look at Nick's face, Tim.
Come on.
Hey, Tim. Tim, can you please describe your boner for the audience?
Sure, my boner is some ladies.
Ladies?
Talk about some ladies.
You got a boner for ladies?
I do.
For the first time ever. It's funny because gay people make some people uncomfortable still. So when we call you gay, that's the humor.
As it makes people listening uncomfortable.
It's also funny because it's just straight up irony. He's.
Oh, I get
a woman.
Straight up irony.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Pat Wick. That's
so you,
who I'm married to.
You got boners for ladies.
Ladies, specifically Ghostbusting ladies.
Oh,
because
yeah.
we haven't talked about the new Ghostbusters.
No.
I have not gotten to see a lot of movies this summer. I did just see the new Star Trek film, and I thought it was fine. The new Ghostbusters movie is not perfect, and yet in a lot of ways, I think it is perfect in terms of tone.
Hmm.
I really liked what they did with, obviously there was the internet
spoilers.
The internet bullshit about having women Ghostbusters.
Right.
And the nice thing is the movie isn't like, hey, look, we got women and they're Ghostbusters.
No, they're just
like, these are the Ghostbusters. Fuck y'all.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy it or don't.
Paranormal research investigation.
Yeah.
And
we're the Ghostbusters.
Now, to take the moment as the skeptic to go, I'm always disappointed in a movie like this when the skeptics are kind of played off as comic relief more than anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's fucking Ghostbusters. So the ghosts are real and the skeptics are wrong. And you have to accept that that's the universe in which this thing exists.
Ghosts are the one thing for me that I have always wished I could see, or that if they were real, that they would prove themselves to me. Because if I saw one, then I would believe forever and I'd be fine with it. But so for me, the part where she was like, when they see the ghost and she's like, oh my God, ghosts are real. I knew it. Ghosts are real. Like I was, that's how I would be as a kid. So sorry.
That's Kristen Wiig. And we can spend a lot of time talking about Kate McKinnon.
I can talk about Kate McKinnon for hours.
Fucking amazing in this movie. And I almost think it's unfair because I thought all four of the leads did a really good job. Five, if you include Chris Hemsworth.
Hilarious. Chris Hemsworth is amazing.
You know, I think...
He's the funniest part of the movie to me, I feel weird saying, but...
I don't think people give actors who have to play straight characters enough credit. It's like...
You mean not comedic relief characters.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig is a funny, funny actress. She's hilarious. But in this movie, she's the straight person.
Even Melissa McCarthy is a bit more of a straight character compared to Chris Hemsworth and Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Her name, the one you just mentioned, not Kate McKinnon, but...
Leslie Jones?
Nope, the other one.
Chris Hemsworth.
Nope.
Kristen Wiig.
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I've reached peak Melissa McCarthy falling down joke.
Huh.
Yeah.
From all her movies.
Pratfalls.
I've reached peak pratfall with Melissa McCarthy. I'm good at fat woman fall down. Ha ha. Like, I'm good on that from now on with her.
All right. Well,
she was funny in other ways. I just those ways.
Her other ways were funnier than those. Yeah.
And I think that there's a problem with that, is with a lot of comedians, that there is a thing for which they're known, that the producers of films fall into the trap of going, well, we know she can do this, so let's just have her do this.
Yeah.
Instead of going, we know she's funny, let's have her be funny.
I
worry a little bit that Kate McKinnon is going to fall into that kind of that typecasting trap because of this movie, because everybody talks about how great she is, and she is.
She's so
hilarious.
Weird, though. Her hilarity is so weird and outsider, and the way she is on SNL, like, it's weird character work and reactions. So
no, Colin, I literally live between rock and hard place.
I think it's gonna. I don't know. I hope that it's. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to step all over your giant boner, but
yeah. Well, but that said, it's like, I really appreciated that they gave sort of an homage to the original Ghostbusters.
Every single Ghostbuster except for Rick Moranis is in that film, including Egon, because he's a bust.
Yep.
Yeah. And Rick Moranis refuses to do any movies ever anymore. So.
No, I actually read an article with him. It's just that he didn't think this was worth his time to show up for a day of shooting.
Okay.
He said that. He's like, I just don't really get why they're rebooting it, and I didn't think it was worth my time to fly
he's
out.
Like, he's like, I made
that.
It 30 years.
We were talking about that.
I made this
today.
Movie 30 years ago, and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, whatever, and that's too bad.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad because... Because the cameos were, you know, this lovely little Easter egg that are peppered throughout the movie. I saw the Harold Ramis bus right away when it was in the beginning of the mm-hmm. film, and then you know later on, well, they gave Bill Murray the most screen time.
Well, and Sigourney Weaver, I think Sigourney Weaver had more than Bill Murray actually.
Really?
Maybe not. She was just at the very end, I suppose. I suppose I forgot Bill Murray had that whole scene in the
he did
where he shows
whole
up
commercial
and the,
or TV
and the commercial, thing, and he shows up in the office, and he sees the ghost and everything. Yeah, yeah.
But he's the only one that gets killed, so you know.
Yeah.
That's
Sigourney Weaver's as Kate McKinnon's mentor was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Like that. Yeah. You know what we say. Never let him see the machine or whatever it was. Like, yeah.
When Annie Potts shows up and...
Yep.
She
was great in her... Yeah.
You know, the story of the movie... Oh, here, I have one major disappointment about
it. Was it the villain?
No, the villain was whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
Here's my major point of disappointment about the film. There's a moment near the end of the film when we're getting to the final conflict where they set up a dance number and then they don't deliver.
Until the credits.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is fucking cheating.
Yeah.
You don't dance tease Tim Wick.
You promised me a dance number. You had a bunch of cops in SWAT outfits about to do a dance.
Yeah.
Posing like the Thriller dance.
It was posing like Saturday Night Live dance.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday
Night Fever.
And you're thinking, I'm going to get the Saturday Night Fever dance or something like
it.
Yeah. With it, and then
the credits was hilarious. That was hilarious. That whole thing was.
But it is unfair because they totally set up something that they did not deliver.
Here's my mine was very similar on the same time. My major disappointment was, and again, Nick and I were in agreement that the villain. I didn't hate him as much, but I was like, he was a weak villain. But really, what bothered me was when he's like. Should I turn into something cute? And then he turned into their cartoon Ghostbusters logo when he could have been literally anything else cute, like a teddy bear
or a kitten.
A baby or a puppy or even like something that wasn't like sentient. Like it could have been like a cute basket of something. I don't know. And so there's so many things that would not have looked almost exactly like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yeah,
got all big. Like, how much funnier would it have been if it were a cute little baby kitten blown up to the size of whatever, like, and like going through the town?
It was lame as shit.
I think it's appropriate that their villain was like essentially butthurt dude. Like, because you know, butthurt dude is the biggest detractor to the movie. And they talk about not reading the internet comments and stuff like that a few times. Like, they reference it in the movie, but...
Man. And there's times when the people are like, these crackpot women, you know, or whatever, and...
The villain of the first Ghostbusters movie is a god reborn, and it's Harold's.
Yeah.
The villain of the second Ghostbusters movie is a...
Sentient ooze. Is
basically Vlad Tepes. He's some supernatural warlord guy
reborn through a painting.
Yeah.
And an ascension ooze.
This is a butthurt guy who, if he hadn't read the protagonist's own book, this movie would have never happened.
Yeah, it definitely has that Indiana Jones thing
with
the temple, not temple, the first one. The first one.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
Raiders.
Something. Sorry, something like when they say, I just could not picture it. When they say there's this theory that like Indiana Jones is the like if he accomplished nothing and if he hadn't been in the movie that still exactly everything would have transpired the same.
If the protagonist had never written their book, Ghostbusters would never have happened because the villain wouldn't have had his MacGuffin.
And the fact that it was like technology making it happen was a little weird, but
Ghostbusters has always been on the cusp of that technology supernatural
thing. They've got their unlicensed particle accelerator on their back.
Well, but I mean, like usually the villain is more supernatural than just blow up all corporeal. My machines.
Yeah. Your brother's complaint was they're not actually busting or trapping ghosts. They are, like, destroying them with, like, wood chipper guns and stuff.
Yeah, they...
There's no containment like, unit kinda, and that sort of thing.
It's kind of too big. They're not...
I think it's a minor complaint.
Yeah, there are plenty of... There are nitpicky little
and
things.
If, and sure. If they'd done the exact same thing, everyone would be like, oh, it's the exact it's same thing. All yeah. they do is trap yep. ghosts like
can't
before.
Win. But can't yeah. win. But the thing is that... The important thing about this movie, the thing that made the original Ghostbusters work, because you know what, there's some stuff in the original Ghostbusters movie that's dopey as fuck.
Oh yeah.
But the thing that made the original Ghostbusters movie work was the Ghostbusters characters, and the thing that makes this movie work is the Ghostbusters characters.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to do the same Ghostbusters characters. I mean, none of them are the same.
They are slightly similar, I would argue. I could tell you which one I think is which.
But,
like,
you know,
yeah.
There's no direct map to
no,
to
Bill Murray. It's not a one-to-one directness, yeah. No. I feel like, so in the original, it's four schlubby dudes. And they even have that bit where they're like, suck it in, guys, you know, when they're taking the picture or whatever, like yeah. on the news. And like, they make, you know, so it's, and in this, it's four, you know, none of them are like super hot, glossy women.
Right.
And, all right, I want to... First, I want to address something. There's some Tumblr post that's been going around that everyone's sharing all virally, like, oh my God, yes. It's like, these women in this movie all eat like it's normal. They just eat like everything's normal. No, they actually don't eat that much in this movie. They talk about food a lot. She gets food delivered, and they have pizza, and there's a point where they're eating it, sort of, but it's not like it's a
there's
big...
There's pizza in the background while they're talking.
I'm sorry, it's not some big fucking feminist amazement that there's food in this movie, and I'm sorry, it bothers me that that's what they're focusing on, is like, oh my God, finally, a movie where people eat. People don't eat in movies because you can't talk while you eat. People yep. don't eat in movies because it's boring. It's just chewing and swallowing. It's the same reason they're not going to the bathroom. You know, it's...
Yeah.
So... I don't know, but what I loved, what I really did love, is that there's no talk about anybody having relationships or not, or having a character arc that is because they just had a bad breakup, or because a man hurt them, or a woman, or because they're in love with someone. The only thing is Kristen Wiig being like super dumb and awkward about how hot Chris Hemsworth is,
yeah.
which makes total sense, and the other ones aren't at all affected.
Right.
Like, it's just her that's just like, or you could, I don't know, just stay and be hot. You're like, and then on top of that, they're all different sizes. Height,
yeah.
skinny, tall, fat, all different sizes. And when they get their Ghostbusters uniforms, there's no, what I thought was going to happen, joke, where let's say Melissa McCarthy is like, oh, trying to button hers and can't do it. Or Leslie Jones puts her arms out and the sleeves ended her elbows and she's like, oh, I think we're going to need to make some tailoring or something dumb like that. There's none of that. Or they don't fit over their boobs or,
They avoid the standard, oh, we've got girls in this movie joke.
Yeah.
They don't talk about size. They don't talk about shape or eating
nobody,
or weight.
Nobody's fat shaming Melissa McCarthy
no.
ever.
No.
Nobody talks about the
fact. No one talks about the fact that Holtzman's gay, but she is. They've said that.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
They've confirmed that that her character is gay.
Well, the actress is gay.
Well, Kate McKinnon's gay, yeah, but they confirmed the character's gay.
Yeah.
It's just never a thing. At first, I thought maybe Abby and Holtzman were having some kind of relationship, and maybe they are, but they don't talk about it
because
it doesn't matter.
There's
there's no moment where their outfits get blown apart so you can see their cleavage, you know. It's just nicely, what they did was they made a movie with characters who are women without making it about those characters being women.
Yeah.
There's the size thing that they didn't make jokes about it or whatever is even to the point where it's in the trailers. Leslie Jones goes to crowd surf.
Yeah.
At a rock concert where ghosts are there. And she jumps out into the audience and everyone moves out of the way and she falls. And because she's...
she's 6'2".
Yeah. Giantess Leslie Jones with a particle accelerator right around her back. Those packs are huge and heavy, right? And when she falls...
Also, Melissa goes first and they catch her.
Yeah.
And so then Leslie goes, which makes people kind of...
And she says, like, I don't know if it's like a race thing or a gender thing, but I'm really disappointed in y'all. It never even occurs to her that it's because she's a giant with this heavy equipment on her back. Like, if you saw Leslie Jones falling on you, you might get out of the way because she's huge.
Yeah.
And it's totally, like, doesn't even occur to the characters. The writers left it out. I love that.
People have said, like, oh, I'm disappointed. I wish they'd made Leslie Jones a professor of history or whatever. And Jeremy actually pointed out that, like, when it comes to knowledge of a city and knowledge of historical facts and places and things like that, like, it is not unusual to make someone who isn't classically educated have all that knowledge. Someone who reads a lot, who loves the city, who has a job in the city, like, you know, and
she
stuff.
Is,
yeah.
She is way more capable than Ernie Hudson was in the first Ghostbusters film. And one might argue way more capable than Bill Murray's character was.
Sure.
Yeah.
The first Ghostbusters film.
Yeah. They're all capable. they all have a part to play. They each contribute something that without that character, they would not have saved the day. It wouldn't have gone. Like it wouldn't have worked.
So anyway, I just, you know, I feel the movie deserves some words.
Made your heart.
Ghostbusters made you feel good in the pants.
It did. It made me feel good in the pants.
So Bustin makes you feel good?
In the pants. Let's get to some five boner questions. Five
boners.
All right, where are they coming from?
Scott McDonald.
Scott!
He says, hello, geeks. Just wanted to say that, move over, scathing atheist. I have found my new favorite podcast.
Oh. Yeah, fuck you, scathing atheist.
The variety that you guys sprinkle into the podcast is amazeballs. I look forward to going through your back catalog of nerdy goodness.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Scott.
Yay.
Good luck with that, Scott. All right, question number one.
What's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Enemy at the Gates. Ooh. I am a sucker for war movies, and this is my number one, with Saving Private Ryan and the Band of Brothers series coming in as a close second and third.
Those movies, oh my God.
You've never seen Band of Brothers?
Uh-uh.
Band of Brothers is excellent. It's HBO.
It's HBO.
Oh, no, I haven't seen Band of Brothers. I've seen Saving Private Ryan. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Band of Brothers is HBO miniseries. Very good.
I made the mistake of eating two movie theater hot dogs very quickly before seeing Saving Private Ryan.
Uh-oh.
And then saw Saving Private Ryan. And I'm not easily grossed out, but wasn't a good choice. Hot dogs wasn't a good choice.
All right.
Was it Gina or the sniper?
Saving Private Ryan?
It was just all the brains and blood. Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. What's the geekiest or most prized possession you own?
My 8-inch vinyl Goblin piggy bank made by Diamond Select Toys.
Oh.
My wife got it for me as a just because gift, and I treasure it as my precious. There's a picture, so I will make sure you have it.
What is it from?
It's a goblin. It's just a goblin holding a D.
Awesome.
20, I think. Yeah, a goblin holding a D20
and grinning.
It is a goblin
holding a D20.
And he's wearing a little leather jerkin.
Maybe
he's
some
got
Pathfinder books in the background, I think.
Yep, looks like it. Very, very cute. Nice.
That's slick. Question number three. What supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
At first, I was tempted to say Matt Murdock, because it would be nice to have someone who could bring justice into our world. However, after 2 seconds of thought, our world is too far gone for Daredevil.
Ooh.
So even though this man is not supernatural, Matt Murdock is the hero we need, but Frank Castle is the hero we deserve.
Oh, shit. That's good. Dang, man.
That's dangerous. All right, number four. Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Money in politics and the Kardashians.
Ha!
We live in a world where those with the money have all the power. The public at large is too wrapped up in what celebrity is dating who to notice they are voting against their own interests. Shit, I'd argue that even that, and this, he sent these answers in February, by the way.
Yeah.
So right now I would argue that the celebrity wrap up and the money in politics is coming together in a very unfortunate combination.
Yeah, a perfect storm of that
to show us who is now,
hooray. Anyway,
I agree.
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
I know what's coming. I know no one beats these odds, and I know it's a matter of getting used to that and growing up and realizing that you are expelled from your mother's uterus as if shot from a cannon towards a barn door studded with old nail files and rusty hooks. It's a matter of how you use up the intervening time in an intelligent and ironic way and try not to do anything ghastly to your fellow creatures. Christopher Hitchens from Fear, Life, and Free Will.
Oh, Christopher Hitchens. There's a man that
Is dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
He said,
he was right, it came.
He also said, yeah. Oh, I tried to go onto Stitcher and rate your podcast, but I'll be damned if I can figure out where or how to do so. If you know of a link to rate on Stitcher, please post it in the show notes. Thanks, Scott from Wisconsin.
All right.
I will do some looking around.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
I don't use it. I just put us up there and kind of was like, good luck, little bottle.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott, very much for your answers to our five questions. Have been Geeks Without God. If you enjoyed our podcast, you can always rate us on Stitcher if you can figure out how, or rate us on iTunes where it's easier. You can do both.
Assuming you can figure out Stitcher.
You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and don't forget, we've got the Patreon thing going on. On average, people who are given $2 a month, just $2 a month, $24 a year. That's like jack off, jack shit.
Yeah. Almost say jack off?
Jack off.
That sounds like jack off money.
Jack off money.
$24 is jack off money.
That's like how much you spend on personal lubricant.
Exactly.
Like what? Like every six.
Jack off money.
It's almost nothing. And you get our podcast early. So there are people who have listened to this podcast 2 weeks before you.
I will point out, Tim, guess how many answers to our five questions we have in the queue.
How many?
Five.
Whoa. What? We've only got five.
This one was from February?
This one was from February.
Oh, man, we're catching up.
We could use some more answers.
We haven't gotten any answers since June 13th.
Oh, my goodness.
So we need some answers, guys, if you've been hesitating.
Yeah, we usually mention those on the boners episodes, and we haven't had a boner episode in a while.
It's true.
So, you know, the thing is, if you're like, I really want to do my five answers,
now's the time.
I don't know if I should, the answer is yes. You should, because if we run out, then we have to do what we did last time and come up with five new questions.
Trick your friends into doing it. Send them the questions and be like, I'm just wondering, what are your answers to these? And then send them to us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Whoa.
This is my friend Frank's answers. He's a fundamentalist Christian.
Or maybe you don't want to answer. You just want to co-opt their answers. That's the American way.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear what a fundamentalist Christian's answer would be to our World Without Religion question.
Hey, go ask your fundy aunt what she would answer to these questions.
Answer.
Sure. I mean, whatever. We got room. We got space.
Ask your dog.
We got five questions to fill in.
Answer question number one. Woof.
Answer to question number two.
So as usual, we don't know how to end
these
episodes.
Answer to question number three. Krishna.
Whoa.
I don't know why. Dog got really serious.
Yeah,
a fundamentalist Christian, for the answer to number three, they'd just be like, God is a living God. I don't have to wish he is real because he is.
But maybe they would say Superman, though. You don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they would, but I don't think they would. Anyway, so thank you for listening. We will be back around this time next week. So we'll talk to you then, and you will listen because you can't talk back because you're... yeah.
Bye.
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 Book snobs look down on my boner.
Grumpy old people are annoyed by my boner.
MRAs hate my boner.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
As always, ended with grace and style.